Welcome. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Kabbalist. With me, as always, and ready to answer all your questions, Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Hi, Dr. Leitman. Before we'll begin, I'll remind everyone that you can send questions, and you do that by going to tv.kabbalah.info. And on our Ask the Kabbalist page, you'll find a very user-friendly interface where you can send video questions, audio questions, or type your text questions right there. So let's begin right away with our first question for today. This one is coming from Philadelphia. It's a video question from Michael. Let's watch it.
Can a Gentile, can someone who studies Buddhist, someone who follows a Sufi way of living, can someone who is a Christian, can we follow the path of Kabbalah and find elevation to the upper world?
Undoubtedly.
Without a problem.
Yes, and Bala Sulam writes about this in his books. In the article of The Last Generation, he says that everyone can keep their religion and alongside advance towards the revelation of the Creator, because the Creator is one for all people. And regardless of your religion or exactly what does a person believe in this world, the main thing is to advance towards the revelation of the Creator, and that revelation will help understand what's true, what's not, and so on, because he'll have de facto a revelation instead of the different beliefs and mysticisms or religions. And thus, the wisdom of Kabbalah was revealed before all the religions. The religions were invented by people merely 2,000 years ago, Judaism, and then Christianity, and then Islam. And the source and the reason for which religions developed in the world is because of the concealment of the Creator. The moment the Creator is revealed, then there will be a great change in religions, and they will become only as the cultural component in a person's life. Because if it's written so, and as the Prophet says, all shall know me from small to great, and my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people, then there will be no doubts as to who and what the upper force is, and that he's above all religions and beliefs, and that everyone is in contact with him, and there's no difference between the people with respect to that. Whereas the different rituals that people have formed in this world in order to blemish their lives, to get married, get buried, have different celebrations, the weekdays, Friday or Saturday or Sunday, according to different customs, that can stay. There is nothing about it that stands in the way. All the more, by these customs that today separate people, can bring people closer.
What about Michael in his questions? He also mentioned, I think he mentioned meditation and teachings like that.
Yes, Buddhism, meditation, Sufism. Of course, I'm familiar with all these things as part of my profession, and I see nothing that can stand in the way. I was also many times and to this day in contact with Sufis and with many religious and spiritual leaders.
So I can practice my own meditation, my yoga.
No problem whatsoever. Even no point in counting them, because in our world there are about 3,800 different beliefs and religions, and starting with mysticism and with the new age of today, that's numerous.
I even heard that people made up, just recently, they made up as a joke, two British comedians or something like that, they made up a religion called Tarvuism, something like that, and people followed it, apparently.
Yes. People need a kind of a reinforcement in life. So if it's close to them and it gives an answer to a few day-to-day needs, they're ready to accept it.
Okay, so there's no problem. I can practice Kabbalah
and
anything else.
you can really relax. A person can continue doing whatever he does. He can get to know the Kabbalah without changing anything in life.
Great. So that was for you, Michael. And we'll move on to another video question. This one...
I want to add that the wisdom of Kabbalah does not demand a person. The question is actually, does the wisdom of Kabbalah limit a person? Does he have to leave what he does? Does he have to accept some new laws and customs? Nothing. He doesn't have to change anything in his life. He doesn't have to leave anything in life whatsoever. He doesn't have to acquire anything new in life. The wisdom of Kabbalah neither brings rituals, nor customs, nor different garments, or any new actions in this world. Nothing. It's simply another wisdom about the other concealed half of the world. And the same as a person can study physics, mathematics, natural sciences, the same he studies the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Okay, great. Let's move on now to another question. This one is from Josh. He's from Sonoma. It's a video question. Let's watch it.
Hi, my name is Josh Dean, and I'm from Sonoma, California. And I have a question on Satan. Is Satan a real, actual entity, or is Satan just a manifestation of a portion of our ego?
Exactly. The Satan is our ego, the one destroying, killing us, putting us to death, separating us from eternity, wholeness, perfection, and the Creator, from all the abundance. All that exists, all of the forces seeming to us external, they all exist within a person. And outside a person, there are no forces or powers, neither good nor evil nor anything else. Also, the Creator is inside us.
Wait a minute. Let's go slow here. Who is Satan? Who is he?
Satan is the power of evil, which is no more than man's nature.
Man is Satan?
Not man. Inside a person, there is the evil force, which is called Satan.
Okay, because we usually, when I think of Satan, I think of some really, you know, ugly monster.
With a tail, yeah, exactly. And all those.
Red one, yeah. So
red?
I think.
I thought black with big ears and all furry.
So if that's not Satan, now you're saying it's a force within me. What is that force? How do I find it?
Yes.
Where is it?
It's the power of evil within a person.
When people do bad things, when people kill other people, when people commit crimes, this is what you mean by Satan.
That's also a phenomenon resulting from the power of Satan in us. Really, the angel of death, so to speak.
Okay, so you said Satan is our evil inclination. This, say, I can understand. You also said afterwards that the Creator, or God, is also inside of us.
But inside us, of course.
No, that requires some explanation.
Because the Creator, it comes from the Hebrew word come and see. It is the good ruling force, really above everything, all-encompassing, but within us. Why? Because there is nothing outside of us. All that we feel, that we attain, it's all within us. I don't feel anything outside myself. If I feel something, where do I feel it?
I feel this table right here, right now. This is
good.
Solid. It's solid. It's matter. It exists outside of my body. And I feel it with my hands.
No, you feel that it's outside your body. The table is not outside you. The table is in your senses. And your senses portray this table as if it's outside you. They as if project this table to be outside you. And that's how you perceive everything. You can neither feel, nor see, nor hear. In short, you can't portray anything that's really outside of you, because your entire development, all of your perception is within your senses that give you an impression within your brain, and the brain depicts that picture for you.
I am talking to you right now. Do you exist or not?
I exist in your eyes, in your brain. And that I'm talking to you now, my image is speaking within you. Something called Michael Lightman that's inside you and speaks to you that way.
Okay, but
you can't say that I exist outside you and that I'm separate from you, because you don't know that. You know only that which is within your senses and inside your brain, the same as you say about a computer. When do you see something and feel something on the computer? When it comes and it's inside the computer.
Right, it displays the information within the computer, yes. Okay, you know, this is similar. I remember when I studied philosophy for a while, it's similar to something that one philosopher said. It's also similar to what some scientists, advanced scientists, say today. Why is this important in Kabbalah? What does it give me to know that everything is inside of me? So it's another philosophy. No? Where is this practical?
The difference between Kabbalah and philosophy is that they can reach the same conclusions, only the results from those conclusions are different. Kabbalah, as a result, reaches a conclusion that if this depiction is within me, then by changing myself from within, I can change the depiction, I can change the world, I can change reality. If the reality is formed within me, if I build reality out of my attributes, then I'll change my attributes and I'll change reality, I'll change my life. It's the same as in that well-known movie, The Matrix.
Everyone knows, I believe.
So I'll change it. I'll change it. Kabbalah speaks about it for thousands of years.
But
this is actually its whole theme, the reason for which it exists. It doesn't reveal some new philosophy for you. It only says, more or less, we all agree that what we feel, it's what our mind portrays. Now, if our mind depicts it out of its attributes, out of its foundations, then can I change these attributes and foundations within my brain? The Wisdom of Kabbalah says yes. If so, then now I can get into a new form of reality.
By changing myself.
Yes. So, it's possible for me now to move from one depiction to another, from one dimension to another. I have the ability to switch worlds, to cross from one world to the other. I see this world now, and you, and this studio, and all these things, and suddenly I'm flying to a different reality, and I'm there. I don't even know what kind. If I can change, then please, maybe an inner button, then I change within myself, and I already feel myself and the whole world different.
And what is that button? How do you push it, or what is it?
That is the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning the method of how to change reality by turning that button. The button's inside as to how to turn it. And in the right direction. That's what the wisdom of Kabbalah allows us to do.
But can you give some sort of a general description of what this button is, or you have to study many years?
Our world is entirely built on inner perception. And the other world, it's built on external perception, meaning I perceive it, but in a reality where I come out of myself, I leave myself and start sensing that which is outside me. Now I feel only that which enters me, which enters my vessels, my desire, whatever fulfills my desire. But besides me exist other creatures, created beings, And if I start acquiring their desire, if I come out of my desire and I start sensing what they sense, then I start feeling the external world, and the external world, it's entirely different than my inner world. I start feeling in that external world, beyond time, space, motion, perception of reality, beyond that which is within me, in all of my foundations, beyond my three axes, the axis of time, distance, the three directions of the world, the sustenance of reality. I come out of that into another dimension. I live in others. And when I'm in others, there are already other dimensions. There is no time, space, or motion there. I cease to see the world through my senses. And then I call that perception the upper world, because I start feeling, sensing, not the power of reception that controls me and only it, the only power that controls me, but now I start feeling the power of bestowal that rules and controls me, and that conclusive power of bestowal we call the Creator.
So how does all of that have to do with what we said in the beginning, with Josh's question, with Satan and God and these two forces?
Because that power of reception of mine in which I live, and I have to do all that it obliges me to, that's the Satan and the angel of death, because eventually I die and it puts me to death, because I live here according to the dimension of time. But when I come out into others and I start feeling them the way they are, I stop feeling time, and I'm above time. Really, according to Einstein's theory, I transcend time. I come out into the upper light, above the current speed of light. And thus, I become a different creature. I start sensing reality which is above time, meaning I myself start feeling myself as eternal, meaning that very desire which I acquire, which is not my desire, it's the desire of the others, of the external to me, it's felt in me as eternal life. And then I no longer identify myself with my current desire, the will to receive, but only with the desire to bestow, the external desire and the will to receive. It can as if disappear from me. I'll just become more free.
Okay, let me just see if I understood correctly. You are talking about developing a whole new sense or new desire, as you said, that is disconnected from the body. It doesn't have anything to do with my body. So even if my body dies, I can keep identifying, you said, living, feeling that desire.
Because even now you don't feel in your body. It seems to you that you feel in your body. You feel within your desire. It's not a body. Your body, that's also an illusion. Your desire depicts your body and reality, that we're here with these cameras and different things and with this great big world. It's all merely a portrayal, a depiction that your desire depicts to you, and it's not something real.
Well, I can tell you, this can be a great Hollywood feature.
You wanted to talk philosophy, not me.
No, but
but you become accustomed to it, you start perceiving it, many people agree with it. It's also studied in universities. It's a certain perception of reality, which is, although advanced, but also very ancient. It comes to us from ancient Babylon.
Is the fact that you and I are talking about this right now and people are going to watch this, does that mean that humanity as a whole is going through this evolution that you're talking about?
No, of course, of course. Today, the whole of humanity starts feeling itself included together. Everyone starts feeling that they're in an integral system, that I can't do what I feel like. We're all interconnected. Any small turmoil influences everyone.
Yeah, I just read a beautiful research about how a social influence works like in other levels of nature, and how all the 7 billion people on Earth are, even the last one influences the first one.
From day to day, we more and more understand that there is one system with all of nature, still vegetative, animate, and the whole of humanity, we're all included in this one system, and we can't discern the two. And thus, this perception of reality that I'm talking about, it starts to be accepted. I see that people understand that that's how it is. And scientists, psychologists, they start digesting this.
Okay, we have a few minutes left, so let's go to an audio question from Leslie. He's from Sacramento. Let's hear it.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I'm from Sacramento. How do we overcome our obstacles and insecurities in this world with the financial crisis we have going on, and how do we know it's the right thing?
I'm sorry, my friend, that is how you feel. But I don't think that the crisis will go away. I don't think that there are easy times ahead of us, and I'm sorry that I'm saying this. God forbid, I'm not one of those people who wants to frighten and benefit something from that fear, fright, attention, or something else. But the direction of nature is to oblige us to ascend above this life to a different dimension of existence, the one that we just talked about. And thus nature will oblige us through different blows, by pressure, to start thinking, what is the purpose of life? That this life isn't simply in order to get along, build a nice consuming society. That's not the reason for which we exist, but we exist for a higher, more exalted purpose, and to oblige a person to do so, to think about it. Unfortunately, there is no other way but by blows, or the wisdom of Kabbalah that's developing now in the world can bring a person the knowledge about this. That, yes, we have to develop. It is worthwhile for us to develop, because ahead of us there is a good, nice development, a nice ascension where we achieve wholeness, perfection, eternity, freedom of the angel of death, and all the things that the wisdom of Kabbalah reveals to us. Thus, it's worthwhile doing, even though we felt a small blow. And a small blow is enough for us, like a wise child that got a punishment, and that's enough for him to become a good child. So if we hear what the sages say, if we listen to what the Kabbalah says, if we look at what nature demands of us to be connected with one another, to really be as integral parts, interconnected, and at least to a certain extent, to achieve involvement with others, consideration towards others, if not love another as thyself, then some kind of a connection, at least some kind of a mutual consideration, and then immediately we'll feel a remission in all of these problems and in this crisis. Otherwise, ahead of us, there are more problems and blows by which nature will oblige us to change anyway, either by our brains or through the path of suffering.
Okay, so Kabbalah explains that there's definitely a reason, a process, and a purpose.
How it's possible to have a nice ascension without any problems and to reach from this life a better life without undergoing the great crisis.
Okay, so thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. We have to wrap up at this point.
Success to us all.
Yes. Just remind our viewers that you can send questions about anything. As you can see, just go to tv.kabbalah.info, and you can go there and submit a video question or an audio question, a text question, however you feel like. We'll be here, and we'll be happy to answer them for you. See you in the next show. All the best.